Hey guys, welcome back to the channel. Got a really great episode webinar here, our once a month webinar. We're talking about estrogen dominance in America with Ali Gilbert and Mr. Dr. Eric Fitness himself. And they've got a lot of great things. This is just a great, it's funny, a wealth of information. Some of the stuff I knew, a lot of the stuff I did not. So it's really good. Hit that subscribe button. Where is it? Right there. Hit that subscribe button and the bell. And so you get notified. We do these once a month. Also, you guys already probably know this podcast, webinar, whatever you want to call it, is sponsored by Core Medical Group. They're great partners of mine. They helped a lot of people. They really give a shit about you. So if you are experiencing any of these symptoms that's talked about in this webinar or having any of these issues, get your blood tested at a minimum. Hit my link in the description. Talk to them. Get your blood drawn. At a lab core, and then somebody will do a video conference. They'll go over your labs, and then we take it from there. They service everybody in the United States. So look up Core Medical Group, and the links are in below. You guys enjoy the episode. All right, guys, welcome.
Hi.
We're going to talk about, I guess if you're on, we're going to talk about penises, right?
Duh, and balls.
Absolutely.
So, Ali, for those that do not know you, can you introduce yourself and your background?
Surely. My name is Ali Gilbert Weingroff. Two last names. I'm like married, but was supposed to have a wedding. We moved three times for Corona. That has nothing to do with what I do, who I am, though. I'm a fitness professional out of Greenwich, Connecticut, and I work primarily with men over 40. And I do hormone optimization via nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle training. So that's really as deep into my background as I'll go with. And I do a lot of collaborative stuff with Dr. Eric here, who will introduce himself.
You're also the dick doctor, right, Ali?
We treat a lot of dicks.
No, you, Ali. Yeah.
Yeah, the boner queen,
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, for those that you didn't miss it, we did a podcast on but what was the name of it? It was the whole talk. Yeah, it was talking about your penis with Ali Gilbert.
I was going to suggest, because for Halloween I dressed as a penis and then you dressed as a penis for one of your
for that month.
Instagram posts.
Yeah,
we should have worn that today.
That would have been hard to get through.
No pun intended. But people send me penis meme stuff all day long, and I love it. I always say, my mom would be so proud, because when they send that to me, they're like, I thought of you. If it's like a penis shaped like cookie or like whatever, and I'm like, you know what? That is the epitome of top of mind awareness. That is branding.
And you've been at the penis talks for a while, because I remember, I think it was 17. I think my Ali would have to correct me. 17, you gave a talk at the Raider Project Transition Seminar, and you talked about that subject as well in front of 200 men in an auditorium.
That was awesome. 200 military. I was like in my glory.
All right, Doc, what's going on with you?
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for having us on. So basically, I'm out of Columbus, Ohio. And I am a health and performance optimization physician. That's my specialty. Started with way back. I was an ER doctor for many years, took care of the sick folks. And I want to nip that in the bud and go more on the preventive side. I got into the world of hormone optimization, peptides, do PRP stem cell treatments. And we have a sexual wellness clinic. So we treat a lot of dicks too. With the health and performance side, we treat men and women. So it's all about hormonal fitness, muscle medicine, and basically health optimization and longevity. Most of our patients are same thing, 40, 50s and up, trying to still maintain hitting the gym, hitting the trails, the track, whatever. They want to have sex, travel, enjoy life, and feel good and strong, live a long time. So that's what we do.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I mean, this is, here's the big problem that I'm seeing. And, Ali, we have clients as well that we deal with. And I've just seen it more and more time as time goes on, even in our youth, and you called it years ago. You said that men are becoming more estrogen dominant over a period of time. So I really wanted to get into that and be like, why? And there's a lot of things that I did in your talk that you talked about. Actually, Josh and I both curved the certain things that we did because of what you said. We're like, okay, well, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah. What was that, Allie?
I'm like, it was actually, it was funny because when Nick brought this topic up to me, I was thinking about what I did in that talk. I looked up the slides and it was a lot of information extrapolated from that book, Estro Generation by Anthony Jay. He's out of the Mayo Clinic. And
I didn't even know that's what the talk was about. It just seemed to go that direction.
It did. It was a bit of a rabbit hole that I've kind of pulled back on because it scares people. Because I was talking about, Eric, you know, the BPA that is on receipts at CVS. And now, like, you know, they have that meme of the CVS receipt being worn as a scarf and how things like red number 40, red number 3 are the highly estrogenic dyes. And that's in like everyone's pre-workout, marijuana, stuff like that, that makes people think like, dude, come on. But one of the bigger ones was sunscreen, which is still not like a commercially known fact, where Hawaii banned the sunscreens that had the oxybenzones in it.
They're the only state, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so as well, yeah.
They positioned it as it bleached the coral. They didn't say, oh, it's going to cause you to turn into a more feminine man.
Which was smart, because if they did it as a health thing, it would never have passed.
Yeah, totally. So I think it was that, and I think it was like, don't microwave things in plastics.
I started going aluminum bottles or mason jars, glass. I know Josh uses glass. We went to like glass Tupperware.
Yeah.
So we like got rid of all of our plastic stuff that was like half melted anyway. So we're like, you're eating half melted food most of the time.
That used to be so tree hugger ish, like glass containers, like, you dork.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Even Eric was a meathead too. Like, you carry around plastic Tupperware. That's what we all did.
We all did that for a long time.
Yeah. And then the people who carry around glass water bottles or stainless steel, they're like, oh yeah, they live at like outdoor sports center and go rock climbing every weekend or whatever. Like, not that that's bad, I'm judging, but
so
like, that was like the hippie groups.
So to not sound like a crazy person, like, how much of an impact does this stuff really have? Those sort of things.
Eric, you want to go?
Well, they have quite a bit of an impact, and it's, you know, and I'll talk about this if we get into it later about the whole estrogen thing, because it's not so much as the normal estrogen we all have is bad. That's actually a very positive thing and a good thing, but it's these abnormal synthetic kind of zombie estrogens and compounds they call the xenoestrogens and the phthalates and all these different things that they act in a different way. Our normal hormones, of course, only last for so long, but these things, they're synthetic, so they stick around in your body for way longer, and they can actually permutate into the cells and cause DNA damage and different alterations to the cell on the cellular level, and that's the problem. So it's kind of like any other toxins, you know, the whole, you know, toxicity of our environment, everything can sit there, and toxins and heavy metals and arsenic, all these different things, they can get into your fat and your bones, and they sit there for decades, you know, not just a couple of months, but we're talking years and decades. And that's the problem. Then they slowly leach out over time. So it's something that is very, once it's in there, it's hard to freaking get rid of. So, and unfortunately this shit is everywhere. And like, you know, you guys are, you know, you're doing the right thing. You know, it's, you know, everything's like plastics and, you know, our quick go society, everything's in plastics and all these different containers and cooking materials and pharmaceuticals and cosmetics. And it's the problem is not so much that each one is terrible, but it's that it's so abundant everywhere, everything we touch in our carpets and our cleaning. And so we're exposed to it 24/7, no matter where we go. And that's not even talking about things like glyphosate and the things in our foods and our water and things like that. So it's a toxic environment, and it tends to snowball over time. So it's that cumulative damage is what's doing it. It's not that anyone's going to kill us or turn us into a mutant, but between all of them, if we're not careful, these things can accumulate very quickly. And then once it's there, it's hard to reverse unless you take some very dramatic action. So that's my concern, is, you know, from the physician side, is that, you know, we're doing some long-term harm, not only to ourselves, but we've got to think about what's going to happen to our offspring, because this stuff gets passed down through generations. And that's what's happened in the past with things like thyroid issues and other things from, not even from toxins, but these things all get passed down. And if everybody living longer because of technology, et cetera, you know, it's just going to permeate even further. So it's a harbinger of potential bad things. So I think it's something that people would need to be more cognizant of and definitely take aggressive precautions as much as possible. It's hard to get away from, but there are some things we can do.
So this is, you're telling me, so what I took from that is you're telling me there's a chance that some of this stuff we're passing on through genetics, through our children.
Yep.
So that the shitty lifestyles that I live, I'm then giving to my kids.
Well, it's possible.
No, your son is already doing push-ups. You know that.
Oh, he's freaking, I don't understand. He's definitely from her genes. He's so strong.
I say he's probably already doing a muscle ups and owns 3 companies already. I'm sure.
So that you kind of brought up something. What was the type of estrogen that those things are producing or are leaking into us?
Xenoestrogens. It's just
xenoestrogen.
Yeah, with an X. Is X-E-N. Okay. Kind of like a synthetic formulations of, or synthetic versions of an estrogen. It's not the same thing as the kind our body makes, but it's a kind of like a warped version of it.
Now males have estrogen. We have normal estrogen. What is that? And what's the difference compared to what they do?
Yeah. So Alan and I have talked about this many times, you know, and you probably remember this too, like for, you know, decades ago, it used to be estrogen was kind of the bad guy, right? Everybody thought that, you know, bodybuilding world, oh, you got to get your estrogen down, bro. You got to block it, you know, testosterone up, estrogen down. And we've kind of learned through the years that estrogen is massively important for men and obviously for women too. And interestingly, a lot of the benefits that men get from testosterone actually comes from the estrogen, things like enhanced libido, fat loss, strong bones, etc. That actually is more from the aromatization from testosterone into estrogen. So men need estrogen just as much as women, you know.
But it's a balance.
It's a balance. It is a balance. But that estrogen is in our body is that's the normal, because it's just like when we give hormones, they're bioidentical. They're molecularly the same as what we make in our bodies. These things in the plastics and all this other crap, very different. You know, it's kind of like comparing testosterone to like, you know, a synthetic anabolic steroid. One's synthetic, one's natural. So, you know, there's downstream effects because it's not natural to our bodies.
Right.
But natural estrogen, we need that. And it's very important. You don't want to block that or try to minimize that. I mean, you know, we could talk again more. It's about a balance. Yeah, you don't want it like crazy high, but you don't want it low either.
So what does that look like for somebody that's my age, you know, late 30s, early 40s?
In terms of what, like levels or like,
yeah,
balance like, it out and things like that. Yeah. So
I mean, I guess it would be more off symptoms, right? I mean, because I'm a big believer that the numbers are essentially bullshit.
Yes.
And that's what I'm always trying. I'm like, let's get your blood tested. That's the start. But at the end of the day, we need to test. We need to say, talk about, we need to have a conversation about how you're feeling.
And yeah. You hit
what's going on with your body.
No, that's spot on, man. You hit it on the head. It's all about, and that's what I try to tell everybody. It's like, I treat the patient, you know, and that's how it used to be done for hundreds of years. A lot of medical professionals gotten away from that. We're treating numbers and not a patient. So you're
well, now we're issuing prescriptions. that's what we're doing.
Yeah. So no, treat the patient. How are you feeling? How do you, you know, tell me about, you know, what kind of results are you having? And I use the numbers as a guide. I mean, yeah, we'll get a baseline. We'll follow certain metrics through over time. But if your number says one thing and your body says another, I'm going to follow what your body says. I don't give a shit what the number says. So
what are those symptoms, Allie? Like, what are you, have you talk about, you know, you've, a lot of your men are in that age range when they come in and they do have high natural estrogen or, you know, from products, what are they experiencing?
The biggest indicator will be the amount of body fat that they're carrying, especially in the stomach. So the more body fat naturally, like a guy that accumulates that, he's going to have more of the enzyme aromatase, which converts testosterone to estrogen. But this isn't the type of estrogen that is good necessarily. If he's not on testosterone, he's just carrying around a lot of inflammatory tissue, which is fat. So he's likely to have insulin resistance, which is upping the estrogen. And then obviously—
So you're having a snowball effect.
Yes. Yeah, so that's like physiologically what happens. So then they're lethargic, they can't handle carbohydrates, then they're gonna become diabetic or they're pre-diabetic. They can't add muscle mass. They likely don't have the best lifestyle. So a lot of these guys, that's what they're experiencing. But even at the level of say they're training a little bit, but they're a little bit overweight, they will still experience that like malaise feeling, like they don't have the drive or the energy that they used to have, maybe not the sex drive that they used to have. They don't have the libido. They don't have like that, you know, zest to want to fight, I guess, you know, and have that.
Go out there and kick the day in the dick.
Yeah.
Right? Essentially. Like, yeah.
Action is what I talk about, like, you know, like in the modern man, like, you know, granted we're not all in the dating pool anymore, but people who are, who come across the guys that, and this always comes across wrong, and I'm not talking about transgender people who identify differently, I'm talking straight up men as an alpha male are not
heterosexual men.
Correct.
Yeah.
Not what they used to be when we were growing up, and it's because of this.
We had a brief conversation on the phone before this talking about Cobra Kai. Remember?
Yes.
And so I brought this up. I'm a huge fan, of Karate Kid.
Have you seen it, Eric, on Netflix?
I saw season one, but is two out yet?
Yeah. Two's done. Two's done.
You've seen part of it. So you'll know.
Yeah, so when I was a kid, I looked like that a lot, like the original. And then it's Allie's like favorite movie. My alley. And so we were watching the show and there's like, you know, there's flashbacks in the show. And I brought it up. I said, look at the kids making that movie back in the '80s. I think it was the '80s, right?
Yeah.
And then look at the kids that are actors in that movie now, the difference and their physiology. And it's just, I mean, you could say whatever you want to say, but it, to me, it's just sad. The natural, because people ask me all the time, Nick, what did you do to train for the military? You know, because we sell training for military prep and things like that. And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, people my age, like, you don't need that. I'm like, well, I hate to say it, but things have changed. You know, like, I didn't really train to get in the military because I was already physically fit because of my lifestyle, because we were out playing and building forts and running and playing football and on the beach and doing sprints. And like our competition was who could, you know, we weren't even sprinters. It wasn't even like, we weren't even on a team, but it was always like, I'm faster than you are. I'm stronger than you are.
Yeah.
You know, that was our lifestyle, you know? And it's just not like that anymore. And so you can see that
that was the first thing that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
And I turned to Charlie. I'm like, this is the modern feminization. It's like the epitome. And 2 years ago, I think it was, at World Golf Fitness Summit, I had a slide talking about this phenomenon. And it's a tough subject to dance around because you don't want it to be misinterpreted. But I had a slide of a drop-down menu. When you go on Facebook now, when you go to choose your gender, there was like 59 choices at that time. So now there could be more, but 59 different choices. And that segued into how, all right, how is this happening? Well, boys are now being born with a decreased distance from the scrotum to the anus, the anogenital distance.
I saw you post that and I was like, what the fuck is she talking about? You're gonna have to break this down, though. You can't just say that. You've got to actually break this down and explain it.
So if you're exposed to more estrogen in the womb, and Eric, you can correct me if any of this is wrong, the distance between your ballsack and your anus is actually shorter, which is how more a female is developed in the womb versus a male. You're like, you guys will have a very long distance, or should have. Because you weren't,
mine's like
probably
a foot.
Not exposed like a foot. To much estrogen.
My balls are up by my belly button.
But then, so I said to everyone in the audience, I'm like, I know what you guys are all doing tonight. You're gonna go measure yourself. Because usually people like do.
I'm doing it right now. What are you talking about?
So you know the tape measure works best. If you use myotape, at least you can, you know. Anyway, so yes, that's like medically, that's a thing, right?
Now is that going back to like the Xeno? Estrogen and so the things that your mother is producing are consuming
and birth
control. Yeah, exactly. These things are kind of, they get passed down and then it just accumulates over time. And of course, a lot of this is, you know, as you mentioned, behavioral and psychological and educational, and it's not all physical, but it's all, it's combined. Of course, we all know about the narrative about, you know, men and, you know, the evil aggressive man, and we need to be all be lovey-dovey and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, kids, you know, you can't have everybody gets a prize, right? There's no first, second place. We've kind of pulled down the competition thing, and that, you know, that has its effects. The whole science of epigenetics is how our environment modifies our genes, you know, and it's things like nutrition and athleticism, but it's also mental, spiritual, you know, emotional, all these things, they all come into play. So, you know, if your kids are being brought up in this synthetic world and they're told to never be aggressive and never compete and do all that, that does something to your brain, to your neurotransmitters, and that gets imprinted upon your genes, and it affects your how your body expresses itself as they develop. So it's a cumulative effect on multiple levels. So it could get pretty freaking deep if you think about it. And it's
yeah. Tim Kennedy actually did a post about talking about when you suppress boys, young men, and not allow them to be boys, not allow them to fight and roll and tumble and play and do the things that they do. If you tell them that stuff's wrong for too long, it kind of makes them, it comes out in the most grotesque ways, right? And this is why we have, like, back in the day, we started having school shootings and all these weird things that we didn't used to have in the day. It's because, you know, his point was that you're suppressing this natural aggression that doesn't have to be a negative thing. And you're suppressing it, and it's coming out in a very dark and twisted way.
Yeah, you think about it, the kids today, it's very difficult. You know, they're in this virtual world. Everything's online and on social media. It's like when you or I, if we get frustrated or pissed off, you know, something angers me, I'm going to either talk to them, or if I can't talk, you know, say I'm by myself, I'm going to go hit the heavy bag and just take it out on the heavy bag or whatever. You know, kids now, they don't have that. They've never been taught. They've been told to be nice and not be. So what do? They go on their phone and they start being mean and bullying online or right. playing video games. And it's like, it's just not normal. It's like you said, it's not how we were developed for millions of years.
And that's right. You're absolutely. And this is something that I'm going to have to teach my son now, is like, you have two options. You go hit the heavy bag and you let it go, or you confront the individual and you have a conversation, which I've done both. And those are both options.
Yeah, I just tell my kids to go, if somebody pisses on, just go beat the shit out of them. It's, sorry.
So, on the Gillette, like that Gillette commercial that got everybody all worked up. You know, I watched it and I was like, I don't really have too much of a big problem. There's a couple things in there. The biggest thing that stood out to me was like the bullying thing. Hmm. And like, hey man, that's not like, whoa. First of all, that kid needs to learn to stand up for himself. I got bullied. And then there was a point that I didn't get bullied anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I bounced this kid's face off the gravel parking lot like 47 times.
And you weren't bullied anymore.
And we ended up being friends. It was in Taos, New Mexico. And it was a very strange story, but he bullied me for a long time. And I bounced his face off the gravel, and then we were best friends.
Yeah.
You know, and it was fixed. And it was that right there was a lifelong lesson.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And we just don't get it anymore.
You just don't get that. It's kind of like discipline with our kids, you know, and, you know, if you don't swat their butts every now and then, everybody's, oh, we can't do that. Like, well, it worked pretty well for all the generations prior, you know.
So what does this look like? We didn't even talk about food. Is our diet the way... Is our diet affecting estrogen levels in America and the world today?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. But that whole like eating organic and grass fed and whatever, I've pulled the reins back on that. I used to be like, you guys got to buy grass fed organic. Honestly, it doesn't matter anymore. There might be a minor difference in the lipid profile, but with the soil, like, you just can't avoid it unless you know the farmer.
I was about to say, what if I go down the street and get half a cow?
If you know exactly what they put in there, you know, but like, even if you go hunting, the deer, they go eat corn like that. So you don't know like this whole cycle of everything. And it's crazy because in America, they've legalized glyphosate and atrazine, which are illegal in Europe. So we spray that on everything. And Dr. Anthony Jay, in his book, Astrogeneration, he was talking about how it takes 200 nanograms per deciliter of estrogen to turn a male frog into a female frog. And the lethal amount, or the legal amount of atrazine in our water is 3,000 nanograms per deciliter.
Yep. If you ever listen to like Zach Bush talk, he's done a ton of great presentations on glyphosate and the poisoning of our food and our water and how it's just ubiquitous. It's, you know, it's freaking everywhere. And like Ali said, it just, our soil is so depleted, it's hard to get away from it. I think there are some things that, you know, yeah, try to get organic, you know, like the Dirty Dozen, the vegetables and fruits and things like that, of course, mostly fruits and vegetables and crops. But yeah, with the meat, I agree with Ali. I was that way too. I think they've done some studies showing that the true organic grass fed is not a huge difference from regular meat. If you can afford it, get it. But if you can't, don't sweat it. But again, it goes back to the it's twofold. One is that the soil is depleted of a lot of the nutrients because the farming techniques have been corrupted. And then of course the toxicity side of it too. So we're taking away the good stuff and we're adding all the bad stuff. So that's why, you know, all my patients, they're all deficient in magnesium. They're all deficient in vitamin D. Many are deficient in B vitamins and so many things, just because things that we should be getting in our foods, we're just not, even if they're trying. So it's an uphill right. battle. So nutrition is massively, massively important.
I take all those things.
Yeah. So
you can have a cow that you get a grass-fed, you know, slice of beef. They could literally take the cow out for 5 minutes. He can eat some grass. You bring it back in. Yeah, he's grass-fed. But there's grass-fed and there's grass-finished.
Right. And there has to right. be finished. Yep, it has to be finished.
Semantics, like with eggs, cage-free, non-cage-free. They can fly. They can smoke. Like, there's so many different like types of eggs now that it gets so ridiculous. But it literally, like our food source, and there's a reason why when you go to other countries, people don't feel as sick. They feel... you know, you could eat gluten in other countries. Like it's a little bit.
When we go to Greece, the vegetables and bread there is completely different.
Totally different. Yeah.
I can go eat a loaf of bread there and feel completely different than if I went and ate a loaf of bread here.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Mind blowing. Yeah.
And I want to, before I forget it, before we touched on this earlier too, I want to emphasize the point of, I'm going to flip it on its head a little bit here, but a lot of times it's been bastardized or turned into, like, as you mentioned, is it an estrogen dominance thing? And it yes and no, because a lot of times I was thinking, well, it's just because the estrogen's high. Well, that's correct, but it's not. Because obviously with the synthetic stuff, yes, the things are getting tweaked out of cycle, outside the norm. Absolutely. But the more important thing with men is that it's not so much that the estrogen is getting so high, it's that it's causing testosterone to be so low. So if you look at a lot of medical studies, and I don't want to get too geeky, but like with women and with men, well, why do I get fat? It's been blamed on the estrogen. Well, again, yes and no. So what happens is, as Ali said, the problem is the fat. When we accumulate visceral fat, it's highly inflammatory and it causes, and there is aromatase in the fat, which can convert your testosterone into estrone and gets converted into estradiol. But it's not just from the estradiol. What happens is the estradiol and the estrone, which is a more inflammatory form of the estrogen, travels to the brain and it turns the brain, it tells the brain that we're getting plenty of estrogen. So it turns off the chemicals that are secreted called LH and FSH. That then is what normally triggers your testicles to produce testosterone. So it's telling your body it's got plenty. So now the testosterone production goes down. So it's not so much that the estrogen high, it is higher, but it's because that it's relative, right? The testosterone should be here and it's way down here. So men are not getting enough. So what happens when you give men testosterone? Gee, guess what? They lose their visceral fat and they drop the weight. They get insulin sensitive. They get their virility. Everything comes back, right? But they still need that estrogen. Again, it's not that the estrogen is so high and you got to block it. You got to get the testosterone up. And it's the same with women. You know, a lot of women who are estrogen dominant, they're not, because their levels are like down here. What problems is they have zero progesterone and zero testosterone. So even though they have minuscule estrogen, technically it's dominant because it's high, but it's still like 2, right? And it should be like, you know, 100 kind of thing. So it's all relative. So it's a complex chemical cascade, but the bigger picture is that the testosterone men is dropping, and combined with those things we were talking about, the behavioral changes, I hate to see like that wussy society affecting epigenetics, the toxic food, the toxic air, all these things.
Well, I start looking at it in the young men today. And even some of the older guys, and I have some clients that I look at their pictures and I'm like, whew, we got to get some blood tests because they're starting to get like an hourglass figure. No matter how much weight they drop, they have this, they have like the tire around their waist. They could be lean, almost lean everywhere else, but right there around their waist, there's just a culmination of visceral fat. Yeah. And I'm like, we have a hormone imbalance. Like, you're doing all the right things and you've got that. That's telling me something.
And I guarantee they're all inflamed as hell. Their bones are getting weak. Their liver's getting full of fat and a lot more. They're getting insulin resistant. Many bad things.
So that's clarified that though. That was an excellent point, because like we can talk about estrogen dominance in America and the world, but what it the really thing is like, and this kind of leads me into some other things is that, well, that kind of answers the question I was going to ask. Why is the testosterone dropping in America? Why is the natural men is that because of all these xenoestrogen that we're absorbing? Is it contradicting that and dropping our testosterone?
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. It's affecting what I just mentioned.
Obesity.
It's also directly affecting our testosterone levels, because just like all the other hormones in our body, they're affected by toxins and they're affected by mutations and all these epigenetic changes. So all these things are causing massive inflammation and genetic problems. And then when your cells are inflamed and they're not functioning properly because of these toxicities and micronutrient deficiencies, they can't produce. It's kind of like a factory. If you're running your factory or you're running your car, instead of putting gas in the tank, you're putting water, it's going to start sputtering and it's not going to be able to go. And that's what's happening. So now our testicles can't put out enough testosterone. Our kidneys aren't working. Our liver's getting fat. We can't make enough insulin. We're getting more and more insulin resistant. So it's just a vicious cycle. So it's a culmination of all those things.
I think it's funny, because you guys, Ali, you know, I went plant-based almost 2 years ago, fully probably, what month are we in? Corona, I'm like, I don't even know what year we're in. It's been almost a year, if not over. I think it's been over a year. And then red meat well over 2 years. But I do like, you know, I do local eggs from the down the road. Some kids got some eggs. So I eat eggs, some fish, but that's mainly it. And everybody was like, oh my God, you're going to turn into a woman. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And your estrogen is going to go up through the roof. And I'm like, I eat more protein than you do, asshole. and you come work out with me and let's see if you hang. And, I train twice a day, very intensely, and I feel great. And somebody said, Rob Bailey actually said it in one of his vlogs. He was laughing. He goes, oh yeah, people are talking shit about me eating plants and tofu and stuff like that. But, you know, they're over there crushing their Walmart beef, not, you know, talking to me about estrogen and hormones. You're like, you should go check your meat there, bud, before you come at me. So I just thought that was funny. But because of your point, you guys' point is the food is, regardless of what it is, I mean, you don't know what it, I mean, like you could eat all this stuff and at the end of the day, like you're still consuming chemicals.
Yeah.
I would love for you guys to make a correlation between protein, because we've got 100 and something clients on our online coaching. And if I tell you the one thing, and Ali, I'm pretty sure you're on the same board. If Josh and I are beating a drum, it's the damn protein drum. I was blown, and maybe it's because I'm from the military. So, you know, it was like in the military, it was like you eat in the chow hall, you go have a protein shake. You eat at the chow hall, you go have a protein shake. And that was just our lifestyle, right? So, and you know, for me before the military, growing up in the gym and you know, bodybuilding, if you want to call it that, at me at 135 pounds, soaking wet, whatever you want to, you know, I tried, metabolism wasn't there. But is there a correlation between protein and being anabolic and testosterone and estrogen?
I think so. I mean,
you want to get, you can geek out. You can tell me there's not, whatever you want to say.
I'll go first. Like, I mean, I can't even 100% of food logs my clients do. They're all low in protein.
And like, what are we talking? What's low?
50, 60 grams. on average.
And then less than 100, less yeah. when they start out, like, I'm just like, hey, just do what you normally do. It's less than 100 grams. If it's a male that says 250 pounds, less than 100 grams a day.
Totally. And you know, there's that stigma where that came from obesity research, where women should eat 1200 calories and men should eat 1500 calories. And so that's what everyone tries to hover around, but they eat things like peanut butter because they think peanut butter is a source of protein. It's not. We know it has more fat.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it tastes really good. And yes, there's some protein in it, but it's not necessarily the best quality. So obviously the first thing that I do is increase protein no matter what. And I get that up as high as possible. And everybody freaks out like, oh my God, I can't eat this much. And I'm like, okay, I'm 5'3" and I go over my protein every day. And my protein is set at 200 grams. If I can do it, you can do it. And they're like, huh. And then 3 weeks later, it's I'm starving now. It always starts that way.
Yeah.
And
that's what I tell them. I'm like, listen, bro, I eat plants and I eat more protein than you do.
You know, so. And I've used you as an example. I'm like, I don't care how you get it in, but just get it in.
Get it in.
They're like, yeah. Well, you know, is this better or is this bad or do I have that? And I'm just like, you're worried about stupid shit. Like, just eat food. I don't care if it's organic. I don't care if it's Walmart.
Let's just get the numbers right first.
Just get your calories up. Because you can also eat more. It is the one macronutrient that is the hardest for the body to store as fat.
Right.
It is the metabolic process that is required to turn that into fat is so difficult and so expensive from an energy standpoint that you can actually increase your level so high to the point where you're eating so much more and you actually might lose weight because of the thermic effect from eating protein. So yeah, it plays a massive part in satiety. And then, you know, if you actually go into the gym, you're not building anything in a gym, you're just tearing shit apart. That has to be rebuilt through protein because there's this phenomenon called muscle protein synthesis.
I hope if you're part of the Agogi tribe, you better be listening to her. You better be listening to her.
So it's just funny how people are afraid of it because they think that it'll like make them bulk. Same with like the bullshit of women wanting to not lift heavy. That's another topic for another day.
But I'm going to get huge.
Of it. Or it's bad for my kidneys. Or okay, if you have a kidney disease, maybe we should have a conversation. You could talk to Eric about that. But literally, they've done research studies where they've put, you know, people eating, men and women, 800 calories in a surplus of just protein and no one gained weight. Some people lost.
Yeah.
Because it metabolizes different.
Yeah, I see that in my patients all the time too. My first, I do the same thing, Ali, as the first thing I say, especially my women, but even my men too. It's like, dude, you're eat more protein. You're not going to hurt you. Like Ali said, you know, 18 to 20% of it is lost just, you know, burning it up, the thermic effect of food. So you could eat, it's the most satiating nutrient there is. And then it's hard to overdo it, but everybody's not eating enough protein. I mean,
when I tell them I eat more than them, that pisses them off.
Like, then they're like, you notice how she got all fired up when we were talking about this?
Yeah.
You're leaning in.
Because they're like, it's so hard. And I'm like, dude, it's hard for me not to go over. But if you go over, it doesn't really matter. Like, it's okay.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it's always high carb, protein, and like fat is somewhere in this no man's land, whether they've done keto in the past and they end up like keto. People who transition from a lower carb or keto diet have a difficult time
choosing
food.
I've seen the same thing.
Fat. Yeah.
Yeah.
But eventually then they realize like, okay, this is easier than I thought.
I love having that conversation. They're like, why I'm keto. Why?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you guys did that. All right. And like you have to try it as a professional. We all have tried it.
If you're going to help people with fitness at all whatsoever, you have to try everything. You have to try it all. Yeah.
And I hated it.
That was not for me.
No, it's not for everybody. Yeah. And you know, but I think, and I tell people too, like the first documented book on keto was from the 1800s. Like it didn't just appear 3 years ago.
Of course.
This fat diet.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was for people with like epilepsy and neurological disorders. Mm-hmm. So I think they confuse low carb with being keto, or they call it like half-ass keto. That's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, all right, then that's misery land because you're not eating enough carbs to fuel your training. and then you're not eating low enough carbs and protein to actually get the benefit.
Getting ketosis. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, why? So anyway, yeah.
Doc, correlation between protein and hormones.
Very important, of course. Yeah. You know, it's, as we mentioned, it's one of the anabolic, one of the most anabolic nutrients, of course, for muscle building. So also important for protein, obviously for testosterone production, for production of all your hormones. You know, what are your hormones made out of, right? They're made out of cholesterol molecules, they're made out of fats, they're made out of protein molecules, et cetera, et cetera. So massively important. You know, if you're not getting in enough protein or carbohydrates, you're definitely going to fall flat. You know, they've looked at that where people who do real low fat or real low carb or real low protein and all their hormones, they go down. You know, flip side, yeah, you can eat too much. If you're eating just ridiculous quantities, that can actually plateau your testosterone and other hormones as well. But it's hard for people to do that. I don't see that. Usually see that. They're not eating enough.
So if I'm eating, say I'm 215 pounds and I'm consuming, obviously I'll be overweight. I'm consuming like 75 grams of protein, but I'm eating like 3000 calories. Is my testosterone going to drop?
Well, it depends what else is going on, what those calories come from, what else you're doing with your lifestyle. It's not going to be
McDonald's and Chick-fil-A and whatever else. Yeah. It's going to drop, right?
It's going
to
drop.
Yeah, that's the way I try to, in a layman's term, I try to talk, like, I'm like, I want you guys to be more anabolic. I want to build more muscle, because the more muscle you have, the more fat that you're going to burn. And it's that snowball effect. The more fat that we put on, the harder it's going to get it to loss, you know, but I've never really connected to the hormones, which I do believe there's a correlation there.
Yeah. One of my videos I did on YouTube, I talked about that with, we mentioned this earlier, with fat being, in, you know, highly inflammatory, which can be very detrimental to your body and your hormones and everything, but muscle, massively important. I say it's the largest endocrine organ in the body. It's an endocrine organ because, as we're learning now even more, that not only does it affect all your regular hormones that we think of, but it also secretes a lot of what we call myokines, which are the cytokines, the little enzymes and protein molecules that actually have a chemical effect on other tissues similar to hormones. Things like IL-6 and IL-12 and irisin and all these other things that do things for the body. They build the bones, they build provide stimulation for the brain, for cognitive effects, many other things. So if your muscle's out of line, it's throwing that all out of whack. Not to mention that, as you mentioned, it's gonna help you burn off the fat. Building the muscle is gonna help it because it's metabolically active. It's the biggest glucose disposal agent in your body to dispose of that glucose to fuel the muscle, so you don't store it everywhere else, like in your liver and your pancreas, and then cause insulin resistance and diabetes, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it's not so much that, yeah, you need to get rid of the fat, but people focus so much on just burning the fat. You should focus on building the muscle, and then the fat will take care of itself.
Excellent.
Yeah. Do you remember the beginning? My beginning of all my talks about, I put a picture of an 80s TV up, and I'm like, all right, who remembers this from the 80s? And people look at me. Yeah. I'm like, all right, you actually had to get up to change the channel. There was like 13 channels and only channels where you work. And then I put up a picture of rolling down the car window. Like, we actually had to do that and go around to the other side of the car to unlock the other car because there's two keys. And we had to actually physically stalk people and hide in a bush. But now we can just do it on a computer. And people are like, where is she going with this? And we don't move as we're supposed to as humans anymore. And the pandemic has proved that, where, you know, you can literally sit on your couch, press a button, have your groceries, have your alcohol, have a wife, everything delivered to your house. You don't have to move. You can wear diapers. You don't have to do shit. So we used to actually have to physically do so much more, which also causes your hormones to respond in a certain way. And now we sit so much that they just get confused. And there's been a study done where the minimum amount of steps per day to maintain body weight and maintain and regulate hunger hormones was like 7,100. And my clients were getting like 3,000 and 4,000 during this pandemic. And I never assigned steps, but I did during quarantine, because I was like, you have to move. Because think about, like, when you're sitting on the couch and you're like, am I hungry? Am I not? I don't know. You're home all day. The donut is staring at you. It talks to you. You hear voices. You have to eat all of it.
Why the fuck is there a donut in the house? I'm just
saying. But people do that, but they don't remember eating five donuts. They remember eating one. They don't remember the other four. So we're all, you know, it's the same
system. Put that with the marijuana and there's no more food in the house. We're ordering Instacart. Exactly. Yeah.
It's like that. There's that, I can't remember the name of it now. There's that movie. It was a animated movie. I forget where everything got so advanced to the point where people, their limbs became vestigial structures because they just sat.
WALL-E.
Was it WALL-E? Yes.
I use it all the time.
Yes.
I just sent that to you because you posted something or shared something and I replied back with that guy. He's like in a thing, you know, with, yeah. Yeah. It's WALL-E. Yeah. That movie was brilliant. Yeah.
That frightens me. That's what our society is going to turn into.
They couldn't even walk. They were all in like, you know, floating wheelchairs.
Yeah, they're like sliding down the deck when the ship turned or something like that. Remember, they couldn't catch the remote and like, oh.
Dude, it's scary. Like the cars drive themselves now.
So how does this, and I know that, you know, Ali, I know you deal with the TSAC and the NSCA sometime. Doc, I don't know if you ever have. So why are military law enforcement first responders at higher risk at some of this?
You know, interestingly enough, yesterday, one of my bridesmaids, her boyfriend's a retired Navy SEAL, and he was telling her they changed the wording in the ethos. They don't use the word warrior anymore.
Brotherhood. They took the word brotherhood out.
Brotherhood. Like
Trump says he's going to fix it.
I hope so.
He said he did. He's like, this is essentially bullshit. And, I'm going to fix this.
Like, come on. That's my first point with that.
Yeah.
Second of all, like that you guys, the stress accumulation, and it's basically like shift work sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you're going through training and all that. So those guys, I mean, shift workers have the sleep-wake cycle is really the most messed up. And so that's where you're messing with growth hormone and the ability to actually produce it at night and in the right times. And then all of a sudden cortisol is messed up, you know, and Eric can probably speak to a higher techie level on this stuff. But from my understanding from working with you guys is that it's the stress management as best you can, depending on what you're going through, what can you control? Because a lot is not in your control. So do you have control over nutrition? If you do, then let's make the right choices with the higher protein sources that we can. Don't do excess workouts that are not needed, especially if you're not eating enough. And usually when guys transition is when that mentality of having to work hard and annihilate themselves in workouts, but then all of a sudden they've got a 9-to-5 or a mortgage and family and all that stuff, and all that adds up. And then all of a sudden you're in the hole where, oh yeah, I'm eating 1700 calories and then training, you know, 12 hours a week. All of a sudden, yeah, nothing's working in the morning. You're the stiffest thing on your body is your back. Like, we've got problems.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of vets, and I did some training, some TBI courses with her, Mark Gordon. He's got a whole TBI Institute you probably heard of him. Mm-hmm. You know, working with veterans who, you know, for decades have been labeled as post-traumatic stress or anxiety, or they're put on Prozac, put on all this shit. Well, we've learned out that a lot of it is hormonal. It's actually traumatic brain injury. And, you know, to Ali's point, obviously stress and the terrors and the psychological aspect, but just a lot of it's just traumatic brain injury. It's not necessarily obviously risk of concussions, falling, fighting, but even just from shooting weapons, you know, those high caliber guns, the bang, boom, 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 that actually takes its toll.
It's micro trauma to the brain.
Trauma. And then not to mention the fumes, you get, you know, heavy metal toxicity from the fume exposure and all these other things. And it's disrupting the hormonal environment from the brain all the way down. These guys come in with, they think they're depressed and have PTSD. When you look at them, they've got inflammation. They have no growth hormone. They have no testosterone. Their thyroid's out of whack, everything hormonally is. And once you fix that, guess what? They're a new person. They don't have PTSD.
I wrote a book about it. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot in that journey. It's one of the things that happened to me is I went to a brain clinic and the doc was like, looked at all my blood levels and you know, I was like, I don't have a TBI. He's like, how many parachute openings, how many breaches, how many IEDs, how many this? Cause I had never been hospitalized. Right. So a lot of law enforcement guys that are like that live in that world, they're like, well, I never had to go to the ER. So I'm sure I must be good. But it's like you said, it's all those, it's the 50 cal going off, or it's the, you know, the M4 going off continuously over a period of a couple decades.
Yeah.
You know, and it's rocking your brain. And that's what he's like, you're going to be on HRT for the rest of your life.
Yep.
You know, because of luteinizing hormones. The first time I learned about that, he looked at my luteinizing hormone. Do you know about that? Could you break that down for people listening?
Yeah, absolutely. I touched on earlier when we were talking about estrogen, and that it shuts down the LH to shut down the testosterone. So in your brain, the pituitary gland starts in your hypothalamus, and it signals your pituitary gland, which sits kind of right behind here, pumps out many hormones. That's kind of like the master control switch. So it turns on TSH for your thyroid and luteinizing hormone, or LH, follicle stimulating hormone, or FSH, are both produced. And then those travel down to the gonads, which obviously testicles and ovaries in men and women. The LH stimulates testosterone production, but the FSH is important for sperm production, fertility, and much more. With women, of course, it helps the ovaries produce estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. So yeah, so if things get disrupted up here at the brain level, then it's not sending those signals. So we get what's called a central hypothyroidism, or a central hypogonadism, or a central hypercortisolemia. So the peripheral organs, the testicles, the ovaries, the thyroid, they're not getting the signal from the brain, from the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland to do their thing. So it's like, they're not, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to make testosterone. I have no signal to do it, you know, and then their distance starts shortening. So, but that's what happens. It starts in the brain and it works its way down.
That's awesome that we can actually look at the blood and see something like that, that we can identify, hey, it's not just like your testosterone's high or low, but we can actually identify in these individuals, hey, this is what's going on. And this is more likely the reasons why that you're feeling the way that you're feeling. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, no, it goes very deep. And that's why a lot of times I see a lot of people come to me, they've been to these mills or these people online just saying, oh, just take this and take that. I'm like, it's way more complex. You have to look at genetics. You have to look at micronutrients and cofactors that can play into that. Like, for example, if you're magnesium deficient, it's a cofactor in the testosterone cycle. Or if you're if you're toxic in this, or if your lifestyle's, there's way many more things. They're like a bunch of little dominoes lined up. And if you mess with one, it's going to mess up with something else. So how
like you said earlier, magnesium, your vitamin D, your B12, your B vitamins. Yeah. So this is kind of Alias's, how do we fix this and improve this in a natural way? Diet and exercise. What's like, before we step into an HRT clinic, which is, I'm all for, before we get there, what are some things that we can do to improve these things?
Sleep would be number one.
What does that?
Well, you have a newborn.
Yeah.
I mean, clinically, you guys have lower T for the first year. What, you have a newborn anyway.
Not me. I doubled up. I doubled up on the syringe.
If you're enhanced, it's different. But you know, sleep, if you can't sleep, find out why, get to the root of the problem, because no matter what, you can do everything in the world. And if you're not sleeping, you're not recovering. You're not actually allowing the metabolic processes that are necessary to actually happen. Next would be lift weights. So the more you lift, the more muscle you carry, the more calories you'll burn during lifting, the more insulin sensitive you'll be. So the more carbs you'll be able to tolerate, the healthier you'll be, the higher your testosterone will be. It's a win for everybody. You'll be strong. You'll be very manly. And then making sure that you're eating enough protein, as we discussed, and then you're eating enough. I used to say, make sure you're eating enough carbs and eating enough fat, because people are usually low on that because they want to do the low carb, high fat. Just get enough food in. And then prioritize protein, because a lot of guys under eat. It's always pegged on women, but every single guy I worked with has not eaten enough for what he is doing.
And he's like, I just can't eat all this food.
Yeah, I just can't eat all this. Well, you have plenty of time to work out for 2 hours a day. Can you get a massage instead and maybe go eat something? Oh no, I don't have time for that. So it's like, everybody want to look like a bodybuilder, but nobody want to live like one. You have to recover as hard as you train. If you cannot get time to recover, do not train so hard. And yeah, that sounds stupid to say, but I have military guys that I work with, and it's been difficult, but getting them to pull back and train 4 days a week versus 12 has been a blessing to them, where they realize, yeah, I wasn't recovering. I wasn't adding muscle mass because my body was just catabolic all the time. And rest is actually a good thing. Boners are a fucking awesome thing. Why not bring that back? And then that will happen in a cycle where you can get to sleep because you're not so stressed out from that vicious cycle of under eating, overtraining, all that stuff. Does that sound familiar?
I like what Cal says. He's like, I'm going to get you to do the minimum amount of work for the maximum amount of return.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want you to, I want to do this much for this much, not this much, and then get this much in return.
And as you get older, it actually requires less stimulus than necessary.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, especially if you've been training a long time. You know, it doesn't have to be CrossFit 7 days a week. Like, it could be literally 4 days is enough, you know, 4 days of lifting, and then go for some walks, do some restorative stuff that actually lowers cortisol and does not cause excessive hunger or mess with your hormones. But you have to recover as hard as you train. It's so boring and not sexy to talk about, but it literally is so important. But guys won't do anything about it until...
It doesn't make good YouTube videos.
Yeah. They will not go to Eric unless something is wrong with the penis. And then that is when something will happen. But it takes overtraining, under eating, all that stuff. Then all of a sudden, oh, I have no morning wood. And then they'll go and do something about it.
So you're saying lift weights, eat your protein. It's like drink your Ovaltine, kids.
Yeah.
Eat your protein. Sleep.
Get some sleep and just recover as hard.
And then stay away from the plastics.
Yeah.
Stay away from as much as you can anyway.
I mean, that's we can make that list as long as we want, honestly.
That's it.
Like, if you give people 3 to 4 things.
Yeah.
It's a huge list. And Alan and I tell people, I say the double S's, right? Sleep and stress. Those are the two big ones that I see. It's like sleep, of course, is paramount. I mean, if you don't do that, forget everything else. I could have the magic pill. It's not going to work. Stress, same thing, you know, like Ali said, recovery days, but not so much. And also evening time, mindfulness, you know, meditation, journaling, whatever you need to do to wind down, to chill, recover, sauna, walks, yoga, whatever the hell you need to do to kind of de-stress, you know, because again, if you're stressed out, it's going to fuck up your hormones and mess up everything else, and you're not going to recover, and then you're going to be wired and tired. So it's not going to work.
And then after that, HRT.
Yeah, fix the lifestyle. I mean, it doesn't mean we can't do it all concurrently. A lot of times I do,
right.
But yeah, exactly. You know, sleep, stress, nutrition, hit the weights, then hit the HRT if you need
then
to go.
Hit the needle.
Hit the needle.
I'm a big fan for that. I think
for most men anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And that's what people don't really realize. I think that people get really scared. They're like, well, I don't need to do that because I can do, you know, X. I'm like, but you know, it goes away naturally. It's not, even if you're like the best person, the most organic, healthiest person in the world, as you age, it's going to go away.
Start to drop. And everybody. Yeah.
You know, I want to be like Stallone. I want to be just rocking until I'm 90 years old and then just fall asleep one night.
That's right.
Yeah.
I want to be one of those women at Gold's Gym in Venice that are like 80 and they look 60 and they're super tan and they're shredded with veins.
Yeah.
Like those, I think we can all agree that would be like.
I think that's going to be you. I think that's going to be you.
But it's like,
gotta have the mohawk.
Yeah, with the mohawk.
Well, guys, thank you so much. Where can people find you? And you guys have your own podcast you guys do regularly, right?
Yeah, every Tuesday night.
Ladies first.
Every Tuesday night, we do Testosterone Tuesday on Instagram Live. My voice is leaving now. I am on Instagram at the Ali Gilbert, Ali Gilbert. And then my website is ali-gilbert.com. Slide in DMs.
Perfect. Yep. I'm at drericprimex.com. And then I'm also on Instagram and YouTube, probably where most of my stuff is, Dr. Eric Primex, the fitness physician. And I have tons of free content on all those sites. And you can sign up to do a telehealth consultation if you want to see me from the medical side. And then Allie and I are doing a dual consultation where you can see both of us, get a double consult from both of us. And we're offering that. It's a great 1-2 punch. So find us both online, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and then anything you want to learn about, reach out to us. We'll talk about it.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us. It was fun.
Thank you.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that. Remember, hit that subscribe button, like, and if you have any of those, go check out my sponsor, Core Medical Group. Man, they really, like I said, they really do care about individuals, and they've worked with so many. Most of our actually Agoge training clients, I'd say half of them are patients of Core Med now. So get your blood tested, get in the know of what's going on with your body. Do not suffer any longer. You guys know the deal. Never quit, never surrender, always forward. We'll see you guys in the next episode.